Petersburg in summer becomes a ghost town as wealthy families retreat to country dachas, leaving behind empty streets and silent facades. Against this backdrop of abandoned grandeur walks our unnamed narrator, a man who knows every crack in the city's granite embankments, but hardly a single soul within it. For 8 years, he has wandered these magnificent boulevards, forming intimate relationships with buildings while remaining a stranger to people. He can describe the exact date when yellow paint began peeling from the Anichkov Palace or when railings were last repaired along the Fontanka River. His isolation has become so complete that he holds silent conversations with stone lions and marble columns, attributing personalities to different streets and squares. The white nights, that ethereal period near summer solstice when twilight extends almost until dawn, mirror his existence between observation and participation. He lives in perpetual twilight, seeing everything but touching nothing, a ghost haunting the margins of society. When we meet him, his isolation has reached an unbearable intensity as the city empties for summer, every closed shutter and darkened window mocking his solitude. Everything changes on a white night when our narrator spots a young woman weeping by a canal, pursued by a drunk. He intervenes with his walking stick, his first meaningful human connection in years. Walking through empty streets, he confesses his inexperience with women and habit of imagining conversations with aristocratic ladies. Rather than finding him pathetic, Nastenka responds with genuine warmth, her laughter breaking through his isolation. When they reach her home, he panics at returning to solitude. Nastenka agrees to meet again the next night with one condition: he must not fall in love with her. During their second meeting, he reveals his inner world with brutal self-awareness. He explains how dreamers construct elaborate fantasies to escape reality, creating adventures that feel more authentic than actual existence. The dreamer's tragedy occurs when reality intrudes. Confronted with real people, he becomes awkward and confused, like someone violently awakened from sleep. Instead of the ridicule he expects, he receives genuine compassion. Nastenka asks if he's truly lived his entire life this way, her sympathy touching something profound. Perhaps no one has ever truly seen him before. Nastenka's isolation parallels the narrator's, though hers is physical rather than self-imposed. Living with her blind grandmother, she's literally pinned to the older woman's clothing each night, a striking image of generational control. Her world transforms when a young lodger moves in, connecting with her during their first meeting by perceptively asking if she's bored with her grandmother, touching her suppressed frustration. Their relationship develops through clever theater outings that include the grandmother, starting with the Barber of Seville, satisfying the grandmother's nostalgia while giving Nastenka glimpses of freedom. When the lodger announces his departure to Moscow for a year, Nastenka rebels, appearing in his room with packed belongings. He explains poverty prevents immediate marriage, but promises happiness upon his return. This agreement creates a new form of captivity for Nastenka, bound by anticipation. Now, a year later, she weeps by the canal because her promised love has been in Petersburg for 3 days without contacting her, leaving her feeling abandoned and betrayed. The third night brings a dramatic shift as Petersburg's summer brightness yields to penetrating rain that mirrors our narrator's troubled state. This solitary vigil forces him to reassess every interaction with brutal honesty. What he had interpreted as genuine tenderness from Nastenka was merely reflected joy, the happiness of a young woman anticipating reunion with her true love. Her animated conversations, seeking his advice, even her physical closeness, stemmed from seeing him as a safe confidant during her waiting period. The narrator reconstructs their encounters, noting details his hope-clouded mind had misinterpreted. This creates an isolation surpassing even his previous loneliness. What makes this awakening particularly excruciating is its inevitability. He cannot find solace in anger, for Nastenka has been nothing but honest throughout. Unable to contain his feelings, the narrator confesses his love on their fourth meeting. Her response, "I knew that already," reveals her perceptiveness. He explains his position is worse than hers was, as her lodger didn't love someone else. He declares he can no longer hide his feelings nor remain in her presence. This honesty touches Nastenka, who begins questioning her own feelings. She offers hope, suggesting his love might drive away her old feelings and her gratitude could transform into genuine love. They walk deliriously through Petersburg, alternating between tears and laughter, making impulsive plans. The cruel twist comes at their good night. A young man suddenly appears, and Nastenka instantly recognizes her beloved. Without hesitation, she rushes into his arms, the narrator immediately forgotten. The final morning finds our narrator awakening to a gloomy, rainy day mirroring his emotional state. Physical symptoms manifest, his headaches, fever sets in, as though his body is processing his heartbreak. A letter from Nastenka delivers the final blow. She begs forgiveness for deceiving both him and herself, calling their brief romance a dream, a mirage. Though she claims her feelings haven't changed, she admits her heart immediately returned to her first love. Most painful is her request that he remain her friend and brother, hoping he'll meet and like her fiancé. After reading the letter repeatedly, the narrator breaks down. When his housekeeper mentions cleaning cobwebs for a potential wedding or party, the irony crushes him. Looking around, he suddenly sees his room as aged and dingy, a glimpse of his possible future trapped in solitude. Yet amid this desolation, the narrator achieves a kind of nobility, resolving to bear Nastenka no grudge. This generosity suggests that their encounter, however painful its conclusion, has transformed him fundamentally. What makes this story so poignant is its exploration of how brief connections can fundamentally alter us, even when they don't last. The narrator's encounter with Nastenka pulls him from dreamer's isolation into genuine human experience. Though he returns to solitude, he is forever changed. His capacity for selfless love, loving without possession or reciprocation, marks a profound evolution in his character. This is the essence of what makes us human, the courage to reach out knowing we might be hurt, to love knowing we might lose. The White Nights of Petersburg, neither day nor night, create a liminal space where such transformations become possible. As they end, the narrator returns to solitary existence, but carries the memory of those four nights when he stepped from dreams into the messy reality of human connection. This memory, though painful, represents wealth for a man who previously lived only in imagination. He has loved and lost, but in doing so, he has truly lived. Perhaps that brief taste of connection, however bittersweet its ending, is worth all the loneliness that preceded it and all that will follow.